sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
During the choir singing, I was looking around and I was seeing some of you really getting excited. You know, hands were clapping, toes were tapping, people were raising their hands and praising the Lord. All of a sudden, some of you started to stand up and you were getting excited about something. You weren't so excited about these singers as you were about what they were singing about. I want to read some scriptures to you tonight. And it's found in John's Gospel, chapter 1, and I want to read verses 1 through 8. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Then I want to skip to verse 15, which says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Then we want to skip to verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose them. John was talking about a friend of mine. It's a friend named Jesus. And we're going to talk a little bit about this friend Jesus tonight. He's the one the choir's been singing about. He's the one that Mel and Leslie were singing about. He's the one that John and Cheryl were singing about. He's the one that Katrina was singing about. And we want to talk about our friend Jesus tonight. We want to share him with you just a little bit. Get you a little bit acquainted with him. You know, when you become acquainted with someone, you generally find out things about their life. Well, we want to talk a little bit about Jesus' life. First of all, he was born in a city called Bethlehem. And of all places, a stable. A stable is a place where the animals were kept. And the scripture says this in Luke chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, or Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So Jesus was of humble birth. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in the home of a king. He wasn't born in some place of high stature, but the Bible tells us he was born in a lowly place. He was born of common parents. The scriptures tell us that his earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter, and his mother was a young lady who was of very young age. They were nobody of any importance as far as the world was concerned. But yet this babe Jesus came to change the history of the world. The Bible also tells us that Jesus is a person or a man of compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36 tell us this, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them. He felt compassion for the needs that they had in their life when they hurt He hurt. When they were sick, he could feel their sickness. When they cried, he could feel their tears. He could feel their sorrow because he was a man of compassion. And because of this, he was a healer. And he still is a healer today. The scriptures are in many places throughout the New Testament talking about the healings that Jesus did. Scripture tells us of the time that Jesus met the blind man who cried out, "Oh, Son of David, have mercy on me." Yes. And Jesus spoke the word and said, "Be thou made whole." Amen. And he received his sight. The scripture tells us of another case where a man was lame and lying beside a pool, and he had laid there for many years waiting for the angels to trouble the water that he might get into the pool and receive healing. But that time had not come. And yet Jesus came by and said unto him, "Take up thy bed and walk," because he was the healer. The scripture tells us of the lepers that were outcasts. They were diseased. They could no longer live with their families. Yet Jesus came to them and said, "Go show yourself to the priest, because you have been made whole." He was the healer. He could heal all manner of diseases. It didn't matter what the situation was, whether it was lameness, deafness, blindness, all sorts of things. It didn't matter. The scripture tells us in another case of a woman who was diseased and had this disease for many years, and the doctors could do nothing for her. Yet when she just touched even the hem of Jesus' garment, she was made whole that very instant. This Jesus that's a friend of mine is a healer of the body today. Matthew 12:15 says, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." Matthew 4:23-24 say, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Now I want you to notice something. I read that scripture earlier, and it was from some other place in the Bible. This was important. It tells us that wherever Jesus went, he was healing the sick, he was preaching the kingdom, he was having compassion upon the people.
Amen.
And it goes on, "And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and he healed them all."
Praise God.
He was able to cast out the devils. My friend, that's important to know, that this Jesus that we serve has the power to cast out the devil. And there are many of you that are listening to me right now that have seen the work of devil be made manifest in other people's lives. Maybe you've experienced the devil being tormenting you in your own life, but Jesus has the power to cast out that devil. He has the power to tell him to leave.
Amen.
The scriptures are in more than one place where Jesus told the devils to leave. He told them to take off. The scriptures tells us of the man that was living among the tombs, and he was such a lunatic and so possessed by devils that no one could be around him. His family couldn't be around him. His friends couldn't be around him. And they had to put him out there, and it says they even chained him. And he broke the chains because of the strength of these devils that were in him. And yet when Jesus came and this man come running up to him, they realized who Jesus was.
Hallelujah.
And they asked him, "Why are you here to torment us?" And he commanded them to get out. And the scripture says he asked the man his name, and the man replied, "Legion."
Yes.
"Because there are many of us," was the devil speaking. And as Jesus commanded them to depart his body, they begged that Jesus would allow them to go into the swine or the pigs. And you know, the pigs had a lot of sense, because the scripture tells us they took off and they ran and threw themselves off of them. They weren't going to put up with those dirty devils in there. Now, a lot of us think about pigs, and we see pigs wallow in the mud. We think of them as being dirty animals who, you know, icky and gooky and all that stuff, you know, and stinky. But these pigs had some sense, because when the devil entered in them, they ran and jumped off the cliff. So Jesus casts out the devils. He gets rid of those demons. If you've got demons tormenting you, Jesus can deliver you from that. he can command them to take their hands off you. The scripture also tells us that Jesus raised the dead. Man, this is a powerful Jesus that we serve. The scripture says he can raise the dead. In one case, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, it tells of this widow whose only son had died. And as Jesus came by, they were having the funeral procession. And he wanted to know what was going on. They said, well, her only son has died. They're getting ready to bury him. And she's quite upset and on all this. And Jesus had compassion, and he spoke the word, and the young man was restored to life. Then it goes on in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 46, and we want to turn and read just a little bit of that. It says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And we're not going to have time to read all these scriptures in this chapter here. But as the story continues on, we find Jesus delayed a little while. And when he got there, they said, Jesus, you're too late. He's dead. He's already died. He's beyond hope now. And he's been in the grave already for 3 days. It's just too late, Jesus. If you'd have been here 3 days sooner, you could have done something. But it's too late. He's died. And they were weeping, and they were wailing, and they were crying, and they were very, very sad. Jesus was touched by their emotions and by the fact that his friend Lazarus had died. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus said, take me out to where he's buried at.
Amen.
Take me out to the tomb.
Yes.
And he gets out there. And he looks at the tomb and he says, now roll away that stone that blocks the entrance to the tomb. And they said, Jesus, you can't mean that. He's been in there 3 days. By now he stinks because the body had begun to decay. Surely you can't mean that, Jesus. Yet Jesus said, roll away the stone. And there were those who had faith enough to do what Jesus said. And they rolled away the stone. And Jesus spoke the words, Lazarus, come forth. Now I think the reason he specifically said Lazarus is because if he had said come forth, the dead would have been coming out from everywhere. But he spoke the word commanding only Lazarus to come forth. And he come hopping out, wrapping his grave clothes. And Jesus said, unloose him, let him go. And he restored him to his family. This Jesus I serve is a powerful person. He's cast out demons. He's healed the sick. He's raised the dead. And yet this Jesus has great love. Has great love for you and I. One of the most famous, most well-remembered, most quoted scriptures of the Bible is probably John chapter 3, verse 16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we want to turn to John chapter 15, verse 13. It says this, John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I want to talk to you a little bit more about this friend of mine named Jesus. His Father God had such great love for you and me that he sent his only son, Jesus, my friend that I'm talking about, down to this earth to be born as a baby, born in a manger, to preach the gospel for 3 years, and then be crucified on a cross, give his life freely that you and I could have forgiveness for our sins. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God has done for us? Isn't that a wonderful sacrifice that God has made for us because he loved us? And that Jesus did for dying on that cross for you? The scripture says, greater love hath no man than he that would give his life for a friend. But you know, it didn't end there. Jesus didn't just die on the cross and be buried in the tomb. But just like Lazarus, On the third day, he came forth, and he arose triumphant, the victor over death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, we can have eternal life. We can have eternal life today. You look around, my friend, and you see your friends as they grow older die because of old age. You see friends come down with sickness, and they die because of the sickness. You look around, and you see friends who have died because of accident. You say, preacher, they've died. They've died. Ah, but that's only the death of this physical body. The spirit will live on. And because of what Jesus did for us, we can live on with him. Praise his name. How can you know this Jesus is your friend? And how can you know him as your Savior? There are six simple things that we want to discuss that tells you this. First, you must realize that you are a sinner. You are a sinner. I was a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's just not a few people, but everyone was born in sin and came short of the glory of God because of this sin that they were born into. It's not my fault or your fault that you were born into this sin. It's just the way it was. But God had a plan, a way for you to get redemption from this sin that you were born into. The second thing is you must realize that you were lost. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He brings us eternal life, but we have to know that we are lost before we can accept the gift of eternal life. You can be lost in the jungle and never find your way back. But if you're not willing to admit that you're lost, you're not going to get help. Then you must realize that Jesus Christ died for you. He died for you. Romans 5, 6, and 8 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So you must realize that Jesus died for you. Why, oh, you? Then, the next event that must take place is you must repent. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you don't repent, the Bible says you will perish. But if you repent, you will have eternal life. Then you must believe. Acts 16:31 says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't believe mean believe on some totem pole. That doesn't believe mean believe on some god that you've carved out of stone or out of wood or made out of mud. That doesn't mean that you believe in some man who's come along and declared himself to be a